Surah Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we got up to Rabbi Yochanan three lines up from the bottom. And what we have to remember is the following: the Gemara presented the following issue, and that is, what happens if a person hears Kiddush in Beit HaKnesset and then he goes home? Does he have to make another Kiddush? And the Gemara records a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. According to Shmuel, he has to make another Kiddush because Ein Kiddush El B'Makom Suda, and his Makom Suda is at home and not in the Beit HaKnesset. According to Rav, he doesn't have to make another Kiddush, but if he wants to drink wine, he has to make another Bari Priya Gofet. And that, in the language of Rav, was Yidei Kiddush Yotza, but Yidei Yayin Lo Yotza. Yidei Yayin meaning the Birkas HaYayin is Ein Yotza, meaning that Yayin, the Bar Priya Gof that he recited in the Beit HaKnesset, is not valid, is not going to help him for the Yayin that he wants to drink at home. Now the Gemara quotes another opinion. Rav Yochanan Omar Af Yidei Yayin Nami Yotzu. In other words, not only have they fulfilled their obligation when they heard Kiddush in Shul with regard to Kiddush, because he holds, like Rav, that Ein Kiddush, the Yesh Kiddush Shalom B'Makom Suda, there's no din of Ein Kiddush Shalom B'Makom Suda, but even more than that, he can continue drinking wine when he gets home, and there's no need for him to recite a new bracha. And why is that so? I mean, after all, we have a principle called Shinui Makom, that when a person changes his place and he establishes a new location, then the bracha that he made in the original location is not valid. So here Rabbi Yochanan comes up with a new idea. And what is his new idea? He holds that what breaks up the linkage, if you will, what's called the tziruf, the connection between his bracha and the wine that he's drinking at home in a different place, what we call Shini Makom, is what's called Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas means that a person discontinues his thinking process. He's, you know, when a person thinks that he's going to start his meal in one place and then he's going to continue and finish in another place, that Das is enough to say that it's all one continuous achila. And the Shini Makom, the fact that he changes his location, is irrelevant. So Rabbi Yochanan is putting all the emphasis on the fact that there was no Hesech Hadas. He never discontinued his mindset and his plans and his intention to continue his meal. And that's enough. You don't need some sort of a linkage, you know, in a positive sense, to say that, well, he's continuing to eat the whole time in the same place. That links it all into one achila, into one eating. No. You can eat many different places, but as long as you have das, and you never made a hefsek means an interruption, by a hesech hadas, then you can continue in another place. It's all one continuous achila.
But he didn't eat in synagogue.
Say it again?
In the synagogue, he only heard Kiddush. He didn't eat.
Oh, so that's a good question. Yes, what happens if you only heard the Bari Priya Gofen, but you didn't drink any wine? The discussion that we're having so far would be a lot simpler if we assume, how are you, that he drank some wine in the Beit HaKnesset. So he started drinking, and he had in mind to continue his drinking at home. There was never a Hesech Hadas, and therefore his bracha in the Beit HaKnesset is chal. It's relevant, and it's valid for the drinking that he continues in his house. The question that's raised here is, what happens if he never drank anything in the Beit HaKnesset? And in that case, we would certainly assume that in that case, the concept of das, that he started his achil in one place and continues another place, is not applicable. Therefore, I would present to you the following thesis: that the person who heard Kiddush in the synagogue, he also began his drinking in the synagogue. So Rabbi Yochanan says that since there's no Hesek Hadas, he can continue his drinking when he gets home. The Gemara says, V'azda Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh, and this is Rabbi Yochanan who's made this statement elsewhere, and that is the Omer Rav Chanin Bar Abi Bar Abaye Omer Rav Pedos Omer Rav Yochanan Echad Shinui Yayin. Here we turn to Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. V'Echad Shinui Makom Ein Tzorach Levarich. So here Rav Yochanan is quoted as combining two different issues. One issue is what happens if he made his bracha of Bori Priya Gofna one type of wine, and then they brought him another type of wine. When you drink two types of wine, then the halacha requires another bracha for the second wine. That bracha is called Hatov V'Hametiv. And here we have a tremendous debate amongst the Rishonim already. What happens if the second wine is not superior to the first wine? Everybody agrees that if the quality goes up, then you have to make Hatov V'Hametiv on the second wine. But if, on the other hand, the second wine is equal, or perhaps even inferior to the first wine, so that's going to be a big debate amongst the Rishonim, whether or not he has to make a bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv. So what does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says that Shinui Yayin Ein Tzarech Levarech? They brought him another wine to taste, and it's different than the first wine. So what happens? Does he have to make another Bari Priya Gofen? Clearly he's going to have to make a bracha of Hatov HaMetiv, certainly if the second wine is of superior quality to the first one. Then everybody agrees he has to make Hatov HaMetiv. But does that mean that he has a brand new shtia, new drinking, and therefore he has to make a Bari Priya Gofen? Says Rabbi Yochanan, no, he doesn't have to make a new Bar Priya Gofen. He has to make a Tov HaMetiv. That's because of the change in the wine. But as far as the basic status of wine, the first wine is Priya Gofen, the second wine is Priya Gofen, and he made the Bar Priya Gofen for both wines. It's one continuous shtir. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us it's not a package deal. It's not that we have a rule that since he has to make another bracha on the second wine, namely Hatov HaMetiv, therefore ipso facto, he has to make another Bar Priya Gofen. Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us, no, there are two different halachas. One halacha is a separate shvach, a separate praise to Hashem for the second type of wine. But then there's another kind of bracha, which is called the Birchas HaNenim, that has a more general application, and it encompasses and includes all wines that he drinks. And that's the Bari Priya Gofen. Now Rabbi Yochanan goes a step further, and even in the case of Shinui Makom, where he changes his location, nevertheless, he doesn't have to make a new bracha of Bari Priya Gofen. And if you look in the Rashbam, here on Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, the first Rashbam, he says, V'echad Shinui Makom, he writes at the end, Shelo Hayalo Hesech Hadas Beintayim. The fourth line in the Rashbam, if you'll notice it. Which means that the fundamental principle of Rabbi Yochanan that Shinui Makom does not generate a new bracha is based on the fact that he doesn't have Hesech Hadas. He never discontinued his mindset. I mean, I'll give you a mashal, Amad Dover Dover. When we wake up in the morning, we make a bracha on Torah study. Now, during the course of the day, a person gets involved in many different things. Like, for example, I made the bracha 12 hours ago. Now I'm learning Torah. Do I have to make another bracha? So the principle here is that there's no Hesek Hadas. Whatever I did in between, I discontinued, but I always knew that I would come back to study Torah. A person is always somehow connected to the study of Torah during the course of the day. Here too, since he made a bracha Bar Priya Gofen and there was no Hesek Hadas, therefore his bracha includes all Priya Gofen that he's going to drink during the course of this meal. And therefore we consider both of these achilos or shtios to be considered as one. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Meisvei. We have a brisa, and the brisa says, Shinui makom tzarech levarech. It's quite explicit against Rabbi Yochanan that once you pick up and leave your place and you relocate, you have to make another bracha. We're not going to say that since he didn't have Hesech Hadas, his bracha in location A could cover his shtia in location B. He's got to make another bracha. Shinu yayin ein tzarech levarech. We accept Rabbi Yochanan in this brisa with regard to Bar Pri Hagafen on two types of wine. So the Gemara says, Tuvta de Rabbi Yochanan, Tuvta. This brisa is an absolute collision, a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we cannot accept Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Now keep in mind that later on the Gemara is going to bring Rabbi Yochanan back into the ballpark, so to speak, and again analyze Rabbi Yochanan. So the Mefarshim want to know, well, you just finished saying Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan, Tiyufta. So the Gemara says that whenever you have a Tiyufta based on a Braisa, you're always afraid that someone down the line is going to question the authority or the reliability of a Braisa. There's something called a Mishabeshta. Mishabeshta means that the Braisa was, if it wasn't incorporated into the Mishnah, maybe it's not reliable. But at this point, the Gemara seems to assume that we're going to rely on this brisa, and it's against Rabbi Yochanan, Shini Makom Tzarech Levar. Okay. Now the Gemara goes into detail. Okay, what constitutes Shini Makom? Clearly, if I pick up from this house, and I relocate myself in a different house, that's called Mibayis Labayis, I have to make a new bracha. But what happens in a case where he relocates within the same bias? Yosef Rav Adi Rav Idi Bar Ovin Kami Rav Chizda Yosef Rav Chizda Vekaber Mishmei Rav Huna. So there's a whole trail here that brings us back to Rav Huna. Ha Di Amet Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech. Lo shanu ela mibayis lebayis. If he goes from one house to another house, that constitutes shini makom. That's called relocating. It's a whole new bias. What shall I say? It's like a mezuzah. You know, you put up a mezuzah in one bias, it doesn't help you for another bias. Or, for example, Ner Chanukah is coming around the bend. So you lit a Ner Chanukah in one bias, now you have to light a Ner Chanukah in another bias. So too, with regard to relocating in terms of a bracha, a birchas hanenim, this is called the shini makom, avol mi makom le makom. But what if he moves within the house from one room to another? Lo, since he still remains in the same house, we can continue as if he's continuing his achila. He's not starting a new achila. Every bias is a new achila, but within the same bias. So, for example, let's say I have a downstairs and an upstairs. So I started my meal downstairs, and now I continue upstairs. It's in the same bias. And therefore, I don't need a new bracha. I can continue eating based on the first bracha. Amalei Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Hachi Tninole B'masnisa Debei Rav Hinnik, V'amilei B'masnisa Debei Rav Hinnik Kavasech. So we have a brisa that would support Rav Huna. And if he moves from one cheder to another cheder, that's not considered shini makom. And therefore, Ella Rav Huna, why did Rav Huna therefore have to repeat that which was already recorded in a brisa? And the Gemara says, Masnisa ka mashmalon? This is part of the question, it's a rhetorical question. Does Rav Huna want to tell me what it says already in the brisa? Let him quote the brisa. The Gemara says, Rav Huna Masnisa lo shmile. He never heard of this brisa, and therefore he made the statement and he came up with the same conclusion as the brisa by coincidence. You know, logically, he was compelled to arrive at the same conclusion that mimakom lemakom in one bias is not considered a shini makom. Visu Yosef Rav Chizda v'kamar mishmei de nafshe. Now, Rav Chizda is going to revolutionize this whole idea of Shini Makom. Because until Rav Chisda came to the fore here, we assumed that as soon as there's a Shini Makom, you need a new bracha. Fartik, it's over. You know, whatever bracha you made in the first Makom, that's gone. So Rav Chisda Mishmei Denafshe, meaning he came up with a new idea in his own name, he's not quoting any earlier source, but logically he concluded the following. This principle that was established against Rabbi Yochanan, based on the Braisa, that as soon as you change location, you need a new bracha. Lo amaran ella, that only applies in a very specific case. Bidvarim she'ein teunim bracha lachrehen bimkoman. That's a mouthful. He's saying that there are two categories of food. There's one category of food which is ton bracha achreha bimkoma. It means he has to go back to his original location in order to recite what's called the bracha achreha. Until now we've been discussing the bracha lefaneha, the birkas hanena before you eat. We have another bracha that we require to recite birkas hamazon after we eat. Or in the case of the shivas haminim, we have to recite a bracha mein shalosh. Now the question is, do we have to go back to our original location where we started in order to make that bracha? Or can I pack out in the middle, and wherever I am on the face of the globe, let's say within 72 minutes, at least that's a different sugya, but he can make the bracha wherever he is, wherever he relocates. So here we have a distinction. If a person, for example, drinks water or eats fruits, then wherever he finds himself, he can recite a bari nefashas, a bracha achrona. That's called dvarim she'ein teunim bracha lachrehen bimkoman. He doesn't have to go back to his original makom. Wherever he is, he makes the bracha achrona. Avol dvarim teunim bracha lachrehen bimkoman. But if, let's say, he requires a birkas hamazon or a bracha me'ein shalosh, if he eats one of the shevas aminim. So the law is that he has to go back to his original place, his original location where he started his meal, because shivas haminim or pas require that you go back to your original location for the bracha achrona. Comes along Rav Chisda and he says, now ain't tzarich levarech. Wherever he is, he doesn't have to make a bracha lefaneha. So he started, let's say, eating a meal with bread, or for example, he drank wine, or he ate dates or figs, in location number one, we'll call. Now he relocates to location number two, no need to make a new bracha. He can continue eating without a bracha lefaneha based on his original bracha. Ay shinui makom. Here, shinui makom doesn't kick in. Why, says Rabbi Yochanan? Because he's forced to go back to his original place anyway. So although Rav Chisda is not willing to go as far as Rabbi Yochanan went, and he said that if there's no hesek hadas, and he had in mind to continue eating elsewhere, that's not good enough to link up the two achilos. We need a much more aggressive agent to link up the first place with the second place. And in the absence of that aggressive agent, we have a principle of shini makom tzarich levarech. However, there is another agent that links him back to the original place that he started with. And that is the fact that he has to go back there, return to his original makom, in order to recite the bracha lachrehu. And what it means is that wherever he is, he's really just continuing to eat the meal that he started in place A, because he always has to come back to the halacha obligates him, compels him to go back to his original place. And my time in the Gemara explains this a little bit better now. And the Gemara says that l'kviya kama hadar. Let's just translate the words first. Everything that we've been discussing until now has to do with what's called kviyus. Kviyus means when I set up a place, I start my meal, and when I start my meal in a certain location, that's called a kviyus suda. I was koveya my achila there. Here, the Gemara is saying in the name of Rav Chisda that l'kviya kama hadar, that no matter where he is to continue his eating, he's always considered kavua, he's always set Kama in the first place. Hadar means he goes back to it. Since he's always chozel kviyus arishon, he always goes back to his original kviyus. Therefore, wherever he is, he's considered to be back in the original place. It's kind of like there's a halacha in, well, this is in the middle part of Masechta Pesachim about Korban Pesach, that you always have to join your chabura. So there's a chabura that was linked together on the Korban Pesach, and they have to eat it together. And the halacha is that if a person walks out of the chabura, he's still considered kavua in his original makom because he has to go back there to continue his eating of the Korban Pesach. He can only eat together with the chabura. Here too, I was just giving a mashal, but here too, he has to go back to his original kviyus. And why is that? Because the halacha is ton bracha lachre abim koman. And therefore, he never broke up his original kviyus. It's almost like, if you can give another mashal, I'm giving a lot of mashalim today. If, let's say, you imagine a person who had chains on his feet, you know, it's like a prisoner. They let him out of jail for a while, but they have him tied down, you know, his ankles are tied down. So he can move around within a certain radius, but eventually he's going to have to come back to square one, back to the home base. So the chains here that bring a person back to home base and reconnect him with his original kviyus is the fact that he has to make a bracha lachrea in the place where he started. He always has to go back. Now here I want to read to you a note that this is a tremendous issue in the poskim, and it goes back to the Rishonim. What does Rav Chisda have in mind? Does Rav Chisda say that when he comes back to his original place, he doesn't have to make a bracha, and he can continue eating? Or did Rav Chisda go as far as to say that even if he continues eating in a second place, he doesn't have to make a bracha? How far-reaching is Rav Chisda's logic of l'kviya kama kahadar? Does it mean that wherever he is, he's located in the original place, he can continue eating anywhere on the face of the earth because he's going to come back to his original place, and he never has to make a second bracha? Or perhaps in a more restricted sense, Rav Chis didn't go that far. He only meant to say that when he comes back to his original place, he can continue his meal, and he doesn't have to make a bracha. But wherever he is, in the interim, that requires him a bracha. So keep that machlokus in mind. We've been assuming that Rav Chisda went very far, and he said that wherever you are, you don't need a bracha. Continue eating, it's all one continuous achila. Now I want to read to you another note here that I found in the name of the Dvar Shmuel. The Dvar Shmuel lived about a century ago, even less. He says the following. The imki kaet kvar ochal kan eno chayev lachzolim komo rishon levarach sham uvar kan bimkomo kshagomar sudoso. He says that there's an additional new halacha here that's implicit in Rav Chisda's words, and that is that if Rav Chisda considers that he's continuing one achila, then according to Rav Chisda, if he continues his achila in the second location, he no longer has to go back to his first location to recite a bracha achrona. That's really wild. This is the chiddush of the Dvar Shmuel. I'll say it once more time. He says, "Kevan sheshini makom eno hefseik me'abracha is therefore bevadai achiloso hamuteret." Knows he's allowed to continue eating b'makom sheni in the second place, and that's not considered a hefseik. So in other words, now he has expanded his definition of his makom. Is eino chayev lachzor l'mkomo arishon levarech sham. He's not required to return back to his first place. You see, if we were to say that there's a concept called shini makom, Tzorech Levarech, meaning even though he's in the middle of a meal of Pas or Yayin or Shivas Aminim, he still has to make a new bracha. in the original place. I'm sorry, he still has to recite a bracha for now in his second location because Shinui Mokom is Chayv Levarech. Then it means that he really didn't have a halachic permission to continue his meal elsewhere. And the proof is that he's going to have to make a new bracha. No, if he's making a new bracha, if the old Shini Makom is Mevarech, then this is a new achila, and the bracha achrona that he's going to make on this new achila has no relationship to the original achila that he started with in the first location. So therefore he has to go back to the first location. But since Rav Chisda is saying that in the case of Pas, he doesn't have a problem of Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech, and he doesn't have to make a bracha in the second place. So the Dvar Shmuel wants to say that it means that he's expanding his location, he's relocating in the second place, he's allowed to continue his meal there, and if he's finishing his meal there, he doesn't have to go back to his first location to make a bracha achron. Again, if we were learning this be'ir, you know, if we had really time to go deep into this, we'd have to spend a lot of time to try to understand this Dvar Shmuel. Okay. All this is according to Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes, or Rav Sheshes disagrees. Echad zevi, echad ze, tzarech levarech. Rav Sheshes says there's an absolute halacha, a rule of shinui makom levarech. And that applies even to the case of dvarim hatu'unim bracha lachreim bimkoman. Once he changes his place, the original achila is gone. In the new location, the second location, he starts a new achila, and therefore he needs a new bracha. That means that according to Rav Sheshes, he's going to make a new bracha lefaneh in the second location, and then he goes back to his original location in order to make the bracha achrona. Meisveh. Now the Braisa is going to be a proof for Rav Sheshes against Rav Chisda. The Braisa says that Bnei Chabura, the word Chabura usually means that people are not just haphazardly eating in the same lunchroom or in the same dining room or the same restaurant, but they're together for a certain purpose. Like, for example, they're friends and they're eating one meal together. We say break bread together. That's called a Bnei Chabura. V'hayu mesubin lishtos. And they're drinking together. Now what happens? They hear the sounds of a chasen and kala outside. And therefore they want to go out and join the entourage and join the simcha to be mesameh chasen and kala. That's called the Akru Raglehem. Akru Raglehem means, it has a very technical meaning, that they've removed themselves now from the place where they have to be, because they have to go back to the original place in order to make a Brach Achrona. So whenever you see the terminology, we're going to have it over and over again, the Akru Raglehem, it means we're talking about a case of dvarim hatu'unim bracha lachreim bimkoman. They have to go back to the original place. So if that be the case, why should we be, why should we permit akru raglehem? You know, we're always afraid that if a person leaves his original place, maybe he'll never go back to his original place to make the bracha achrona. So we really should be very tight about this, not laid back about this. But the answer is that there was a purpose, there was an urgency in their leaving the original place. And what is it? Lotzeis likras chasan o likras kala. This is a mitzvah, and for the sake of a mitzvah, we're going to allow you to leave your original location. And therefore, the Braisa now is going to address the following issue. Do they need... Just one second. Oh, question number one. There are two issues that come up here. First of all, before they leave their original location for the sake of the mitzvah of chasun kala, should we require that they recite a bracha achrona? Because we're not going to rely on the fact that they'll remember to come back and recite the bracha achrona. That's question number one. Question number two is, in the place where they go to, are they allowed to eat without a bracha, based relying on the bracha rishona that they made in the first location? So the Brisa says the following. Number one, ein teunim bracha l'mafreya. The word l'mafreya here is identical with bracha achrona. It means on the meal that they ate already. So we're going to allow them to leave their original location. We're going to assume and rely on them that they'll come back to the original location to recite the bracha achrona. We're not going to require that they, before they leave, you have to make a bracha achrona. And number two, k'shein chozrin, when they come back to the original place, ein teunim bracha l'chatchila. In other words, whatever they continue eating, that's all a continuation of their original meal, and they can continue based on the original bracha. The fact that they relocated themselves for the sake of chas v'kala, that doesn't undermine the continuation of their meal, which means they're still in the middle of the meal, they can leave for the sake of the chas v'kala, and they don't have to make a bracha achrona, and then when they get back, they don't have to make another repeat bracha rishona. They're continuing their achila. So far, it sounds very much like Rav Chisda, because that was Rav Chisda's principle, that if there's something pulling you back to your original place, i.e. that you need a bracha liachreha bimkoma, then you don't have to make a new bracha, you continue your achila. No. It's against Rav Chisda. Why? Because now, the Brisa goes ahead and restricts it. And says, when does this law apply that they're continuing and they're always connected to their original place? They don't have to make any extra brachas. That's only shehinichu sham zaken ochole. It wasn't that every member of the chabura packed up and left the place. They left someone behind. The Brisa gives examples of a zaken ochole. You know, who do they leave behind? And after all, everybody's going to want to go out to the chas and the kala. But there's an elderly person, it's hard for him, there's a chole, he's not well. So he's going to remain in their original place. That itself makes the kviyus makom. We remember the whole discussion that we had is whether or not when you're oker makom, meaning you leave your original place, is that called an akira, as if you left the original place, or no, you still have the original kviya suda. So now the Bryce is saying that if you have one of the members of your original group left behind in the original place, one of the bnei achabura, in this case the zaken achole, then you're considered to be, as we said before, l'kviya kama hadar. He's going back to his original kviyas. He never left, he never cut the umbilical cord and disconnected himself from the original kviyas. Avolohi nihu shamlo zakim lo chol. If everybody in the chabura leaves in order to go out for the sake of the chas and kala, is then two halachas apply. Number one, shein yotzim, before they leave, they have to recite a bracha l'mafreya, that's the bracha achrona on what they ate. Ukshein chozrin, and when they come back, they're going to need to recite a new bracha rishona, that's called a bracha l'chatchila. So it means that this brisa is making everything dependent upon hinichu lehem, that they left there a zaken or a chole. That's against Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says that the very fact that they have to go back to the original place because that's where they have to recite the bracha achrona, that itself is enough to establish that the original kviyas is still in effect, it's still active. So the Gemara now analyzes the brisa and raises the objection against Rav Chisda. Midik Tani, since it says in this brisa, akru ragleim, and as I indicated earlier, akru ragleim is a technical term, which means that they have to go back to their original place. Akru ragleim means they removed the kviyus, which obligates them to return to that kviyus, and we're going to allow them to do so because of the sake of the chos of akala. Michlal, we understand that b'dvar matuna bracha l'achrei b'mkom maskin. We're talking about cases where he's got to go back to his original place. He's drinking wine or he's eating bread, and he has to go back there to his original place for the sake of a bracha achrona. And the only reason we're going to allow him to continue that original kviyus so that when he comes back, he doesn't need a new bracha. It's time of the nichusham zaken ocholahu. That's the reason why the original kviyas still remains intact and active. But Tikshen Yotzim ain't to the brachal frek shen chosud ain't to the brachal frek avaloi nichu sham zakinu chole. If they didn't leave anyone behind, the kvius is gone. And therefore, Kshen Yotzim, now to start establishing a new kvius, we're not going to let them leave to Udin Brachal Afrei until they make a brachachron. Kshen Chozrin, when they come back, they're going to need to Udin Brachal Achatchilo. Is Kashel or Rav Chisda? This is against Rav Chisda. Now, the only way that Rav Chisda can get out of this is if he finds a Tana who is a candidate author of this brisa, and that Tana represents a minority view. And that's what Rav Nachman is going to do. Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Here we're going to take a look on Kuf Beis, Amud Aleph. Don't reject Rav Chisda based on this brisa. Man Tana. Who is the author of this brisa? That Akiros, that says that as soon as you leave your original kvius, that original kvius is gone. And now it's Shini Makum Tzarech Levarech. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the brisa. He holds that under all circumstances, even in regard to Dvarim HaTeunim Brachal Achreim Bimkomon, meaning he's tied down to his original Makum because he has to go back there for Brachrona. Nevertheless, Shini Makum Tzarech. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda went that far? The Sanya, I'm going to quote a brisa which records a machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda about this very point. The brisa says the following: Chaverim, again, there's a group of people who are there together for one purpose. They're probably a group of scholars that learn in one building, which is called the Beis HaMedrash, and then they go to eat in the Chadar Ochel, right, in a different building. Shahayim Mesubim, now they're eating together in the Chadar Ochel. The Akru Raglehem, and now in the middle of their eating, they leave their place. Leilech LeBeis HaKnesses O LeBeis HaMedrash. I guess there's some urgent need now, in the middle of the meal, to go and hear a lecture or something in the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash. Or maybe they went out to eat, to Dab Mincha. Shem Yotzim ain't to Unim Bracha Lefreya. They don't have to recite a bracha achrona. Shem Chosin ain't to Unim Bracha Lachatri. They don't need a bracha rishona. And this reflects the shita of Rav Chisda, because here the brisa doesn't stipulate that they left people in their original kviyas, left somebody behind. On Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says no. There's no such rule, but when will I accept such a rule? That's only bizman she nichu sham miktas chaverim. That a number of their colleagues were left in the original place. I'm a loy nicha sham miktas chaverim. If everybody packed out, leaving no one behind, is then kshem yotzin tu nebrachul afrek kshem chosin tu nebrachul achatchila. The original kviyas makom is gone. And therefore they're going to have to recite a bracha lachreha to complete the meal. And then, if they come back to that place, they will have to require a new bracha. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who took this minority dissenting view against the majority, against the Chachamim, and he insisted that under all circumstances, Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech, unless you can leave people behind, and that's going to force you, so to speak, compel you to bring you back to your original Kviyas Makom, and then it's one Achila. But in the absence of that condition, Rabbi Yehuda went as far as to say that Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech, even though it's Dvarim HaTeunim Brachal Achreim, right, as we saw, because it says in the Brisa, what was the Brisa's language? The Akru Raglam. Akru Galeah means that they were eating a meal that requires a bracha chrona. And here we have the sheet of the Chachamim to rely on, and therefore Rav Chisda is not going to be upset by a brisa. Any brisa that contradicts him, he can always pull out of his back pocket Rav Yehuda and say, well, don't blame me, I reflect the sheet of the Chachamim, the majority view, and you found the brisa that reflects the minority view of Rav Yehuda. Ella, says the Gemara, if this brisa that we just learned reflects in the Shitas Chachomim the logic that when you have Dvar Matunim Brachal Achreim Bimkomon, you go back to your original kviyas is still well alive and well, it's still active, Taima, the reason why the Chachamim allow you to go back to your original place and continue your meal, that's because it's Varmatun and Brach Lachremim Koman. Right, for the fact that the Braisa used the terminology of Akiras Makom, it means they were eating a full meal. Kishem Yotzim, Ein Antunim Brach Le Mafreik Shein Chosin, Ein Antunim Brach Le Chatchila. It's all because they were eating a meal that requires them to go back to the original place, which we said was Rav Chisda. If they were only eating fruits and drinking water, it means that then when they relocate themselves, there's no connection to the original kviyas. The original kviyas is completely null and void. Lema to have ituvta derab Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that shini makom is not mechayev a new bracha, and the original kviyas is extended because he was never made. He never had hesek hadas. You know, the fact that he originally intended to eat and continue his meal in another place. So the Gemara says, okay. So now you have a brisa against Rabbi Yochanan. But lav mios vinu chadazim. We already had a brisa against Rabbi Yochanan. That was the brisa we had on the previous Avod, and the Gemara concluded tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta. So the Gemara says, Nema meha nami tevi tiyufta. What the Gemara really wants to say is now we have a second brisa that contradicts Rabbi Yochanan, and the Mepharshim explained that they're not going to rely on the first brisa because maybe somebody will come up down the line and he'll question the authority or the authenticity of the original brisa. That's called the Mishabeshta. So we better bring a second brisa to strengthen and bolster our position against Rabbi Yochanan. Amalchah Rabbi Yochanan, who adin. Rabbi Yochanan holds that as long as there was no hesek hadas, then shinu makom eino tzarich levarich, and he can extend his achila in many different locations. He doesn't have to terminate his original meal with a bracha lachrona, and he doesn't even have to recite a bracha lefaneh. The Hadiktoni, the Brisa says, Akuragleim. The Brisa says that we're talking about a case where they got to go back to the original place where they started a meal because of the din of Dvar Matu'udim Rachel Achreim Bimkoman. The answer is no. Lo diacha kocho d'Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why the Brisa couched its case as akuragleim, meaning they were eating pas or drinking wine, was to tell you how far Rabbi Yehuda went. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that unless you leave people behind, then your original kviyas is gone, even though you are compelled to return to your original place. The afilu b'dvarm shetunim brach lachrem b'mkomon, even though you're going to have to return to your original location where you started the meal, because of the brach achrona, nevertheless, the only way we can allow you to continue eating and consider it one long extended meal is time of the niach mikzas chaverim. He left someone behind. No one left behind. They all went out. Is Kshem Yotzim Tunim Brach Lefaneh Lemafreya Kshem Chosim Tunim Brach Lechatchila. Even though, and that's how far Rabbi Yehuda went with this Chiddush, even though it's Dvarim HaTeunim Bracha Lachrehem Mimkoma. But as far as the Tanakhama is concerning, the Chachamim who disagreed, the Tanakhama would say that there is no such din as Shini Makom Tzarech Levarech. That means that since he didn't have Hesek Hadas, and he left on a temporary basis, but he's going to return to his original place, it was all part of his mindset, therefore it's an extension of his original meal. Now this is very strange. The Rashbam has a problem with this Gemara. Why? Because you have the Shitas Chachamim, and you have a Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and now you're telling me something which would be misleading as far as Chachamim, the Tanakhama, is concerned, and you're doing it because you want to teach us how far Rabbi Yehuda, the dissenting opinion, went. That breaks the rules. Why? So if you take a look in the Rashbam, Dibra Maskel Odiacha, So he dropped down about, I would say, four lines, and he says, "V'lekalach shuye." And you might object to this Gemara. Adarava, on the contrary, Lishmeina, let him tell me that Dvarim she'ein tzrichim bracha l'achreim im koman. Tell me that he was drinking water or eating an apple, and nevertheless, he doesn't have to make a new bracha in another place, and he doesn't have to make a new bracha when he comes back to his original place. It's all one extended achil odiach hakochad rabbanan. Tell me a bigger chiddush. How far did the rabbanan go to say lekula, this is a leniency, that you don't need another bracha? And if you'll ask me, well, why should we choose for the chachamim over Rabbi Yehuda? Why should they get first dibs and tell me a chiddush in the chachamim? The answer is mishum koach that teira od. That whenever we see a heter and a kula, we're going to always try to clarify and substantiate that kula. That's called koach that teira od. So he says the following. He gives the following answer. He says ein lomar kein. We would not expect that the Brisa would have to teach me a koach hatera adif a chiddush in the chachamim. Why? The svarahu, because the chachamim shita will understand logically. The kevan shalohaya hesek hadas bein time lama yaksir yivar. In other words, the Rashbam is saying that the logic of Rabbi Yochanan is so compelling that as long as he didn't have hesek hadas, there's no need for a new bracha. That the Brisa didn't even have to spell that out. That we can understand based on our own logic. But when Rabbi Yehuda rejects this logic and he says, no, shini makom tzarech levarech, now we want to tell us how far Rabbi Yehuda went with his chumrah requiring a new bracha, even in a case where he's compelled, al pidin, the halacha regulates and obligates him to go back to his original place. Nevertheless, he's not able to continue his eating elsewhere. Okay. Now, my friends, we go back to the original sugya that we started to blot before Adaf Kuf. You remember the case of someone who started his meal on Erev Shabbos. On Friday, he had a right to start a meal, but he continued his meal, and now it got dark out. It's time for Kiddush. So we had a machlokes, if you recall, on Daf Kuf. If you want, you can flip back and see it inside as a review. On Daf Kuf Amid Aleph, if you count down around, I would say 12 lines or so, it says Desanya, and the Brisa starts with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mafsikin l'shabosos. If he started his meal on Friday, now it's time for Kiddush. He has to terminate his meal and recite Kiddush. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Mafsikin. Rabbi Yossi says that he's allowed to continue his meal into the wee hours of the night, and he'll recite Birkas HaMazon, and then he'll recite Kiddush. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda sees an urgency and an immediacy in reciting Kiddush. He must recite Kiddush. And in order to do so, he has to terminate his meal immediately when it gets dark, and then recite Kiddush. Rabbi Yossi says there's no urgency. He started Beheter, he was allowed to eat his meal on Friday, and he continues and continues and continues. Rabbi Yehuda's not going to tolerate eating a meal that's not a post-Kiddush meal, because that meal is a Sudas Chol. On Shabbos, we don't need a Sudas Chol. Shabbos is the time when we have to immediately recite Kiddush and begin a meal that's a Sudas Shabbos. That's our obligation. So we must terminate immediately the original meal. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says no, there's no urgency here, there's no halacha that compels him to terminate his meal. Whenever he gets around to it, he finishes his meal, he'll bench, and then he'll recite Kiddush, and he'll fulfill his mitzvah of Kiddush. Tanu Rabbanan, right? We're now back on Daf Kuf Beis. And we're four lines, four plus change, up from the bottom. So the Brisa now analyzes the following question. If a person is required to complete his meal which was a chsudas chol, then he's required to recite Birkas Hamazon. At the same time, he has to start worrying about fulfilling his obligation to Kiddush. In fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he started the suit and it went into Shabbos, he's got to immediately finish his meal. He cannot continue his meal. He's got to recite Kiddush. So what does he do over here? He's got a double obligation. On the one hand, he needs Birkas HaMazon. On the other hand, he needs Kiddush. Now, keep in mind, again, this is not really so much part of our culture, but back in the day, when they recited Birkas HaMazon, they did it over a kos yayin. So now, he needs a kos yayin to be part of Birkas HaMazon to terminate his sudas chol, and at the same time, he needs a kos yayin for Kiddush. So, Tana Rabbanan, B'nei Chabur Shayu Mesubim, they were eating on Friday as Sudas Chol. The Kiddush Aleihem Hayom, now it became time for Shabbos, and therefore they have an immediate urgency to recite Kiddush, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and they have to therefore terminate their Sudas Chol and recite Birkas HaMazon so that they can recite Kiddush. So what comes first? Should they first recite Kiddush, or should they first recite Birkas HaMazon? So the Braisa tells us, Mevi'im lo kos shel yayin, the first urgency that gets priority and is immediate is Omer of Kedushas Hayom, he should recite Kiddush on a kos yayin, and then Sheni, meaning they bring him a second kos of yayin, the Omer Olav Birkas HaMazon Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, what takes precedence and what comes first, it's got to be Kiddush. Okay, what do we do in Sheva Brachas?
Yeah, you pour a glass of wine to
right.
Get benching, and then you have a second glass of wine. You say Sheva Brachas and you mix them together, right? So you have the mitzvah of Sheva Brachas, I guess not a mitzvah, but...
So wait a minute, so that coast is a coast of Birkas HaMazon, and at the same time, it's going to be you need another coast for Sheva Brachas, to drink for Sheva Brachas. But I don't know, I'm not sure, you'll figure it out, if that's going to, if that's going to bear on the Seder part. You're right.
Well, I mean, that's
a good example of two mitzvahs both on a kos, and we need two different kosos. We're going to have one kos for Birkas HaMazon, and another kos for Sheva Brachas. But I'm not sure if that bears on the Seder right now. So we're going to talk later about why you need two kosos. But right now, let's address a different question. Why does Kiddush come before Birkas HaMazon? So one answer you could give, perhaps, is that Kiddush has a certain shas chovaso, meaning that there's a very specific moment that generates the chiyuv of Kiddush and engenders a certain immediacy, an urgency. Remember we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he can't be laid back about Kiddush and continue his meal as if nothing happened, and then he'll recite Kiddush after he finishes his meal. No, Rabbi Yehuda wants the Kiddush immediately. Birkas HaMazon, when he finishes his meal, he'll recite Birkas HaMazon. That doesn't bother me. But now it's the zman. It's the moment. It's the moment for Kiddush, and therefore he should recite Kiddush. Now, in this note here, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos: Mishalo ispalel mincha b'Shabbos, kirishpasel b'motzei Shabbos, shtei tefilas tashlumin, mavdil b'rishon uveinu mavdil b'shniyah. In other words, if you have two mitzvahs, and the question is which comes first, you should always give first priority to the mitzvah b'shaita, meaning the mitzvah that has a shas chovasa. So if I'm davening twice Ma'ariv because I missed Mincha, then which davening is going to reflect the one that I missed? You might logically think it should be the first one, right? Because that's the one I need, because I missed it. No, that's going to be the second one. Why do we push it off as a tashlumin to the second one? Because it's not b'shaita. This is not its time period. The first tefillah is going to be the tefillah of shaita. So therefore, on Motzei Shabbos, he has to put Avdallah into one of these two tefillahs. Which tefillah is going to get the Avdallah? It's going to be the first of the two. Why? Because that's going to be the tefillahs Arvus. And the makeup tefillah for Mincha is going to be the second tefillah. Paradoxically, even though in terms of the sequence, the second tefillah, meaning the replacement tefillah, really came first, but Avar Zmano, it's no longer related to this time period. It's just a tashlumin. But the Ma'ariv now is tefillah. So that's a mashal here for Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says that in the case of Kiddush, there's a Zman Kiddush. Once the sun sets on Friday night, I'm chayav in Kiddush. So therefore, Kiddush has to come first. Then we have Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ochel v'holech ad shetechshach. He started his meal with all the permission, beheter, on Friday. He could continue his meal. There's no urgency to recite Kiddush. Whenever he gets around to finishing his meal, he'll recite Birkas HaMazon on the meal, and then he'll go ahead and recite Kiddush. Now, would he have to eat another meal after Kiddush? So if you go back again to Daf Kuf Amen Aleph, take a look at Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil. Rabbi Yossi Omer Eimaf Sikin, and he says, Gomer Kol Asuda, Umevarech Birkas HaMazon, Ve'achkach Mekadesh. Umashma She'ein Tzarech Laso Suda L'Shem Shabbos. He doesn't need a second Suda for Shabbos. In other words, Tosfos is learning that somehow he finished up his need for a Suda on Shabbos. That's very interesting. V'im Tomer, if you'll ask me, Yasa Kiddush, how can he do Kiddush after Birkas HaMazon, the first Suda? Is ain kiddush el b'makom suda? Yeshlomer the chashiv kiddush b'makom suda came on shemiyad achar suda osa kiddush the osa suda olalol the suda shabbos. This is a mind-boggling concept. I don't understand how this works, but he's saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, since he's eating this suda on Shabbos, it counts for him as a suda Shabbos, and therefore when he recites kiddush after Birkas HaMazon, that kiddush is called b'makom suda because the previous suda that he ate was a suda Shabbos. Well, it was a suda for the sake of Shabbos. I don't understand how this works, because first of all, how do you retroactively set up that original suda as a suda Shabbos? It's not a suda Shabbos. In fact, the whole reason why Rabbi Yossi says continue with your meal is because it's a suda schol. And now Tosfos is saying, if I understand correctly, that suda schol serves a double purpose. It's like when I was a kid, we used to watch Clark Kent and Superman. He had two personalities. So this suda has two personalities. I don't know.
Which Birkat HaMazon do you say? Does he say for Shabbos?
So I don't know. Before I saw Tosfos, I would have insisted that he make a Birkat HaMazon for Chol and not mention Ritzeh. But now that Tosfos is saying that retroactively that suda is Ololo for a suda Shabbos, I would certainly think he'd have to recite Ritzeh. It's very odd. You know, again, that's why I say, our limud borders on, we're willing to go this far and not all the way. In other words, we'll raise the issues and sometimes we'll resolve the issues, but sometimes we're going to have to leave them outstanding.
If it was going to be a Shabbat meal, though, wouldn't you have to do Kiddush at some point before and not wait till after it got dark?
So that's what happens over here. It only becomes a Shabbat meal retroactively after he recites Kiddush. For example, let's say he continues his meal to midnight, he falls asleep, and he never recited Kiddush. then that meal would never retroactively become a Suda Shabbat, that he just forfeited that mitzvah of Suda Shabbat. The Kiddush somehow impacts on the Suda that came before it. We always say that the Kiddush is the kickoff, you know, begins and sets into motion the Suda Shabbos. Tosfos is saying that according to Rav Yossi, he's going to recite Kiddush after he finishes his meal, and he doesn't eat another meal. So in any event, when he terminates that meal, he recites Birkas HaMazon. Kiddush is not urgent. That's Rav Yossi's sheet against Rav Yehuda. And after he finishes his meal, he recites Kiddush, and everything's wonderful. Why? Because that Kiddush is considered B'makom Suda because of the Suda Shabbos that he ate, which was only impacted with the personality of Suda Shabbos retroactively after he made the Kiddush. So this issue here that we're discussing about the Seder, which should come first, the Yayin for Birkas HaMazon or the Yayin for Kiddush, that depends upon the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Mafsikin LeKiddush. Kiddush is urgent, therefore it has a din of Mitzvah Bizmana, and he recites Kiddush first. Then he'll get around to reciting Birkas HaMazon. So the Seder, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Kiddush first, Birkas HaMazon second. According to Rabbi Yossi, no. He continues his meal, terminates his meal, recites Birkas HaMazon, and then he picks up a Kos Shel Kiddush. And now we turn to Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Now everyone agrees, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, that he needs two cups of wine. One for Avdolah, one for Kiddush. The question of which comes first, and when he recites them, that's a different question. So we're going to pick up Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis B'li Neder on Yom Revi'i in another week. We'll stop here because I think it's about time for Ma'ariv. And when you get to next Wednesday and you'll ask me where the place is, it's very easy. It's mamish the first word on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. So if I forget, hopefully I'll make myself... Well, you want to open the door, we'll say Baruch. So everyone should have a great evening.